Well, let's start with what is your musical background?
Well, I grew up in Canada, wanting to be a rock star. I started writing songs when I was 8 or 9 and put a little band together in junior high and played in a variety of bands throughout high school and then went off to college and discovered, to my dismay, that I wasn't much of a performer. And I had pretty intense stage fright, and I wasn't comfortable in front of a lot of people. Naturally gravitated towards more behind-the-scenes music roles, like a composer, as opposed to performer, and ended up doing some musicals, writing musicals with my brother, who actually is a rock star.
Mm-hmm.
His name is Chili Gonzalez, by the way.
Oh, okay.
And he's based in Berlin. And is a hip-hop recording artist.
Mm.
Actually, several albums there. Literally fell into film scoring by accident when I kind of found out randomly about the USC film scoring program. And went down there, studied with Jerry Goldsmith, among others, and found out that this was a really cool way to make music.
So you kind of answered my second question, but I'll ask it anyway. What first inspired you to write film and television music?
The truth is that it's a fantastic way for someone with my particular set of skills to make a living. At first, I never really considered scoring films. I enjoyed movies and I enjoyed movie music, but I never really thought of it as a serious career choice. It wasn't really until I graduated from college, or was getting close to graduating from college, that I realized, that it might be a really, A, great way to make a living, and B, a really satisfying art form, and found out that both were true in my case.
Okay. So what's the first thing you do when you begin to write a score?
A, panic. B, procrastinate. The very beginning of a score is always the most terrifying because there's nothing. It's the blank page, of course. Really, the first thing to do is to work out some kind of a concept for the score, and this is the toughest part because this is where you can, if you're lucky, come up with something that's interesting and unique and that hasn't been heard a lot in film scores. So it's coming up with thematic material, coming up with sound, depending on the style of music it is. If it's more contemporary thing, then it's making a lot of beats and working with synthesizers and other electronic devices to create a palette.
Okay.
And then I start with a key scene or two. A lot of times it's the last scene in the movie, because once you know where you're going, it's a little easier to get there.
Now, you mentioned the fact that you had studied under Jerry Goldsmith.
Yes.
And what did you take away from him in his teaching that has helped you compose your scores?
Jerry, I think most of all from Jerry, is the importance of a theme. And it doesn't even necessarily need to be a big melody, per se, but it usually takes the form of a central melody that's central to a character or a particular concept in the film. But having a strong theme with a beginning, a middle, and an end, not being lazy and just writing 8 bars, but writing, the whole 32, or however many it ends up being. Because once you have a strong theme that works for a central character or a central concept, then the rest of the score, if you're lucky, writes itself.
Sticking with the subject of themes, what are the considerations that go into writing a main title theme?
A main title sequence in particular is kind of different from what I'm talking about.
Mm-hmm.
I'm talking about more of a theme that can recur in the movie and can function in a very classical sense as a motive. Main title sequences in particular usually contain some kind of a main theme, but sometimes do not, and are more about what's happening on screen. A lot of times main title sequences occur during action on the screen. So, of course, a lot of attention is paid to main title sequences because, for the most part, it's just music all by itself, and so the music is scrutinized. So there's that extra layer of pressure. Really, the challenge is just to sum up the musical vision for the movie in one piece. When there is a traditional classic main title with just credits, it's really a great opportunity for a composer to stretch a bit. and write a piece of music that works more as pure music than your average underscore cue does.
So a lot of your work, early work, is in TV, actually, FX, the series, and White Fang.
What would you say? Yeah, that's pretty early.
So what would you say are the differences between scoring for TV as opposed to movies?
Well, number one are the deadlines. I, as a film composer now, and as a guy who hasn't worked in television in a couple of years, I look at the schedules that TV composers maintain, and I am flabbergasted that I ever did that. Right now, writing more than 2 minutes of music a day is terrifying to me. Mm. And I regularly, when I was doing Buffy, had to turn out 6 or 8 a day. And the thought of that is just seems impossible to me now. That's number one. Number two is that due to the nature of the medium, a lot of times in episodic television, scenes, they aren't as long. There isn't as much room for empty space. As a result, the cues tend to be a little shorter and a little less... The cues tend to be shorter and a little bit less developed.
Okay.
But that's not to say that creatively the process of actually putting music up against a scene is any different. It's really identical. The challenges are the same. The rewards creatively are more or less the same. When, as a composer, you really feel like you're helping make a scene work in some way, that's just the same in television as it is film.
Now, do you find that the hectic pace of a television score makes the music suffer a little bit? Maybe.
I certainly would like to think not. I think if I had to turn out a film score where I had to write 6 or 8 minutes a day, I would hope that my work under that kind of pressure would be just as good as my work when doing only 2 minutes a day. Of course, the difference being it's a little bit less fun to have to turn out 8 minutes and then send sleep suffers. But I listen back to some of my television work, and I'm often pretty surprised to hear how it holds up to work that I spent a lot more time doing.
So now, in 1997, you worked on not one but 5 TV series. How do you keep it all organized?
Which 5 do you have on your list there?
I actually have The Practice.
Yeah.
Buffy the Vampire Slayer.
And then there was Angel there, too.
Yeah, it was Angel, and there were 2 others, and unfortunately I don't have the list in front of me.
It might have been a sitcom as well. Well, a lot of TV composers have a small staff of composers that work for them.
Mm-hmm.
I did that a little bit. On some of the shows, Angel, I brought in another composer who was still scoring the show, a fellow named Robert Krall.
Okay.
I did like the first couple of episodes, and then gradually started giving him more and more of the cues. And by the time we were halfway through the season, he was pretty much on top of it. And the same goes for sitcoms, where after you build a library of cues, there isn't as much a need for constant original music.
Okay.
And in the case of The Practice, there just wasn't that much music in your average show. So it really isn't quite as insane as it seems. And the truthful answer to the question is I have no idea how I did it.